Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Turn with me, if you don't mind, Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Throughout this year, we're going through a special series of the power of God's name. And in this series, we're learning how to use the names of God. We know that there's many names of God listed, and towards the end of the year, we're going to take time to go through various names of God. But we also want to teach you how do we use those names. And this message here, if you will allow it, will change your day-to-day life. It will change your Christian life. It will change the way that you enjoy your life, because we can live a life not of defeat, but a life of victory. The book of Psalm 20, and if you don't mind, notice with me if you don't mind, in Psalm 20, notice with me if you don't mind, as we look together, Psalm 20, and let's start in verse number 1. Psalm 20 in verse 1, the Bible says this, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, and he will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find in Psalm 20? Psalm 20 in verse number 7, notice at the very end of it where he says, "We will remember the name of the Lord our God." We will remember the name of the Lord our God. And with the Lord's help, we're going to preach this message and teach you through this message of how to use God's various names that are revealed to us, that we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just help us, give us wisdom and understanding. Please provide victories because of this message as we learn how to have victories. We learn where the victories come from. We learn how we could depend upon you, and that this would revolutionize and change someone's life, that this would help someone who's living for you to have even more victories. This would help someone who's just been living a mediocre Christian life and to be able to live the life that you desire them. Or maybe there's someone that's been living in defeat, that this message would help them to live in victory from day to day, from victory to victory. And it would revolutionize and change the life that you give to us because of the principle we learn in here. Honor your own name and bless your word. You get your own work accomplished. Just use me as your instrument. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. The 20th Psalm is a battle psalm. This is one from the warrior King David. So we know that David, of course, was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was used of God to conquer and used of God to see victories. And in this, as they are preparing for a day of battle, we could see what it is that made David so victorious. Why did God bless him victory after victory after victory? We know that all the way from the time he was a child, he had victories. Remember, he talked to Saul as he was preparing for the battle of Goliath. And they were saying, have you ever won any battles? Have you ever been hit, kid? Have you ever been punched in the face? Have you ever won? I mean, what makes you think you could do this? And David explained that as a shepherd, he fought by himself a lion and a bear. Now, I don't know about you, but lions and bears are very ferocious creatures. Very few of you would feel like you would get a victory if you decided to go hand-in-hand combat with a bear. Most of you, we know we're living in the Wisconsin and bears live north of here, not too far away. Most of you, if you saw a bear or heard of a bear, you would not go pet him. You would probably say, well, you know what? We're going to be in our house today. We're going to kick out the dog we don't like, but the rest of the people. You are not expecting to get victory. But David, in order to protect the sheep that he was set steward over, went to hand-to-hand combat with a bear. You take a lion. We call the lion the king of the beast, king of the jungle. The lion who was a massive killer. A stalking cat, a predator, an apex predator, a killer. Its massive paws would be as big as your chest. Sometimes we forget how big these creatures really are. This isn't a nice little house cat that you go, oh, that's nice. You need a haircut. If the main feature of a lion is its roar, and the roar is made to put chills down your spine. It is made to frighten you. Before the battle even begins, you are afraid. And you don't think you're going to win just because of the cry. You've already lost. And David went out to save the sheep that he was set steward over. And did hand-to-hand combat with a lion. So as a 17-year-old boy, he goes up. And they say, what makes you think you could win a battle? I've already beat up a bear. I've already killed a lion. Hand-to-hand combat. He had experience. How did David win those victories? The open secret's what we find here. As he goes, faces Goliath. Goliath is a veteran warrior. Goliath has been fighting battles since he was a youth. And now he's a seasoned warrior in his prime. His weapons are massive. He is 9'4" tall. If you stood before someone 9'4" tall, you might have a little flutter in your heart too. Some of you, I'm tall. Some of you don't like standing right next to me because you feel short and intimidated. And I'm nowhere near Goliath's size. But David said, it's no problem. I'm going to defeat him in the name of the Lord our God. He actually uses that when he faces Goliath. You come to me with staff and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord our God. He was already planning on getting the victory. Why? Because he was depending on God. So now is David the warrior. The David who's won battles. As he is preparing for battle, he makes it very clear in his battle preparations, it's all about God. Amen. It is not how many arrows I have in my quiver, how many stones I have in my sack. It is not about the warriors and the count of the people that follow me. All of those are good. We want to put those things in order. But I'm not planning on winning the battle with weapons. Remember, 2 Corinthians makes it clear, the weapons of our warfare, or for we fight not against flesh and blood, with physical weapons. But what happens is that the weapons of our warfare, are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. What is our weapons? It's the Lord, the name of God, putting our dependence on him. And so as David is preparing for battle, this isn't a psalm that's just sung just randomly. This was a psalm that was put together in preparation for battle. And David is putting the principle. What is the principle of this? Where's your faith? Where's your dependence? What are you trusting in? Once again, verse 7. Some people trust in chariots. Some people are going to trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. What are chariots? Chariots in David's time were some of the most advanced weaponry they had available. Chariots were made on flat ground to be able to be fast, maneuverable, and catch anything and defeat people. The way that it was set up. The most advanced military. You know, there are some people who are depending on the most advanced military weapons they had available. Yep. Some trust in horses. Well, of course, horses help out. If you had a horseman versus someone on foot, the horseman has an advantage. They're higher up. They are more maneuverable. There's a lot of advantages they have with that. So they're seeking for an advantage in a fight. By the way, that's what a lot of warfare is. Who has the best weapon, the most modern weaponized, and who has the advantage in a warfare? And some will work on getting that advantage. It was said Alexander the Great and then following after him, Napoleon. Why did they win so many battles? They picked the battlefield. They looked for an advantage to help them in the fight. There are some people who look for the greatest things. Some people imagine if you were going to go in a fight, I want to look at my nuclear arsenal, make sure that I have enough. I got the most advanced weapons. I got the most trained troops. I could win the battle because I've counted the cost. I've looked at all the things. I am better than them. I have the advantage. I am trusting in my ability. That's what it carries, the idea of trusting in horses or trusting in chariots. I'm trusting in my ability, my advantage, my weapons, what I have available, what I've put together. Notice the word I. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. All that is showing is dependence on self. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, is he violating any scripture or any principle by saying, I'm trusting in the name of God, rather than just saying, I'm trusting in God? Not at all. Remember that the names of God are meant to give us more information about the characteristics and the attributes of who God is. The names of God give us more about the characteristics and the attributes of God. They help us to understand who God is, and with that better understanding of who God is, we could trust him even more to win the battle, to get the victory. It is making sure that we're trusting in him and all of his attributes. We know that God cares for us. It is why God has revealed himself in his names, so we could understand him more. Why? So we can trust him. If you don't mind, I'd like to, as we examine this psalm, let's look at a couple things. First of all, let's understand our warfare. Our warfare. We know that this psalm is a psalm of battle. All throughout it, it uses battle terms, preparing for this victory. But as they're preparing for it, just imagine a bunch of soldiers preparing for a big battle. Maybe they're fighting against the Ammonites. Maybe they're fighting against the Philistines. Maybe against the Moabites. David had many enemies he had to fight against. Maybe it was against civil war, his own family. Whatever the case was, as they are preparing for battle, they're making sure, as they're making their preparations, they're also making sure they're dependent upon God and not themselves. Their confidence was not in their own military prowess. It wasn't in their advantage, their weapons of their warfare. They weren't dependent on themselves. They had that prepared, but they wanted to win the fight. They wanted to put the dependence on God, who gives us the victory. Before the armies march into a fight, what would happen is that it would be very common for David and his troops to actually sing this as a song before going out to battle. It was something that David had wrote, and it was used to remind the troops, we're trusting in God for the battle. We're reminding that we have to put our dependence on him. It's God that gets the victory. If it's put on anything else, we have every reason to think we're going to lose. Our dependence is on God and his name. We know that for us, You may not be in the physical battles, but we're all in spiritual warfare. We're in a battle every day, whether you like it or not. You're in a battle against your flesh. Remember, we as Christians have three great enemies. By the way, that's enemies with a capital E. The world, that means the world system, the flesh, and the devil. Most of us don't worry about the devil because he doesn't even know your name. Very few of us will do battle with him. The world is the world, and we always have to fight against the corrupting influence. But the battle that you and I have to fight every day is against the flesh. You know why that enemy wins? Because we don't see him as an enemy. And the days that we do see him as an enemy is usually because we failed so badly and we see how devastating. Maybe it's sin. I can't stop sinning. I want to stop sinning. But every time I try, I keep falling in the same sin. Have you ever had that conversation with you? Have you ever had those tears fall on your pillow as you look at the defeats in your life? How come I can't get victory? I don't want to do this anymore, but I keep doing it. Isn't that the awful thing about sin? Is that we crave it, and then once we do it, we feel so guilty about it. Why did I do this again? I knew better. Why did I fail? Why am I living a defeat? Why am I always letting my flesh win? And we try to fight our flesh with our own strength. Flesh, stop! And our flesh says, I don't care. It's not bothered at all. Why do we live in defeat after defeat after defeat in our everyday life? Because of our flesh. Let me tell you, the world does not really give you defeats. It's your flesh that does. It's your flesh that lets you down. Over and over, we're living in defeat. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty. It's not us, it's dependence upon God. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood. By the way, that means people are not your enemies. You may think your boss is out to get you or your teacher's out to get you, but they're not. They are not the enemy. We fight against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Just like David and his armies trusted in God's name for the battles, we have to trust in God's name for the spiritual battles. So the question still remains, what are you trusting in your warfare? Victory in life's battles begin with trusting in God for him to win the big victory. We are in real battles and you're in a battle every day, but only God can win that fight. Amen. You cannot. It doesn't matter how hard you try or how much you want it. It doesn't change that God must win the victory. Which brings us to a second thing, our weapon. Our weapon. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Notice with me in Psalm 20. Notice in verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Notice this. In the name of God of Jacob, defend thee. Notice three times in this passage, it uses the idea of trusting in God's name. Notice verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. Verse number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Over and over in the psalm, only 9 verses, we see the principle of trusting in God's name, letting God's name be our defense, letting God's name and who he is, his characters and his attributes get the victory. So with that, we're going to go through the names of God later on, but I want to just give you some of the names of God and show you how we use them in our fight in getting the victory. As we talk about our weapon, let's just learn how to use it. We know that knowing his name brings confidence. Knowing his name brings confidence. Let's just hit a couple names. We have one of them, Jehovah Nissi. We'll talk about that later on, but Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. The Lord our banner. What is that? The Lord our banner, a banner is a flag or a standard. It's what armies would hold up in the air in the middle of a battlefield so they would know who's on which side. Well, Jehovah's Nisi, when it says the Lord is our banner, it carries the idea that God, we're under his flag. We're under his protection. We're part of his army. And the Song of Solomon says it so sweetly, his banner over me is love. Why do I have confidence that God will help me in the day of battle? Because he loves me. That's a big deal. He loves me. I can have confidence that he will help me in my daily battles to win the victory because he loves me. God doesn't want me to be in defeat. It breaks his heart to see me in defeat. And because his banner over me is love, I'm underneath his banner. I carry his name. He cares for me. He wants me to live in victory. He wants me to be able to trust in him for the victory and him do a great work. Jehovah Nisi, the banner, the Lord is our banner. You know, there's another name of God that helps us to have confidence in his name. And that's Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts. We covered this recently. What is the Lord of hosts? That means that God is the God of all the armies of heaven. Well, if I'm fixing to go into battle, that's the advantage I want. I want the God who has all the armies of heaven at his beck and call. Outside of the names of God, of Lord, meaning the proper name of God, and the personal name of God, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the most used name of God found in the Bible is the Lord of hosts. Why? Because Israel's always under attack. They're always in a fight. And God used this name over and over to give them confidence that I am the God of all the armies of heaven. I'm going to win the victory. I can't lose. Why can I have confidence that God will help me in a fight? Because he's the God who can't lose. He's the God who has all of these resources under his control. He could easily win the battle because of all the resources he has as the Lord of hosts. I can have confidence. You know, there's another name that could give us confidence that he's going to help us in the battle. We could trust in his confidence. Is El Shaddai, which you'll see in the Bible as the Almighty. God Almighty. This El Shaddai carries the idea of God's self-sufficiency. Do you know that God does not need gas? God does not need fuel. God doesn't need to eat because he doesn't have to fuel up his body. Many of you need to eat, and you need to eat often in order to have enough fuel to keep going on. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything from an outside source. And his source is limitless. You can never use up God's power. We can depend on Almighty God, the God of all power and all strength, to take care of the victories. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
And so we can have confidence that God will help us in the battle because of his names, whether his banner over me is love, or the Lord of hosts, or God Almighty. I can have confidence that he helped me in the battle. Not only that, we can call upon his name in prayer, that God has given us permission to call and depend upon him. Here's some other names of God. We have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. I'm thankful that I can call upon God and say, God, I have a need, and you're the God who could supply my need. I can call upon him and depend upon him. Because, you know, sometimes some of our battles is something we lack. I lack wisdom. Can God provide?
Yes.
I lack finances. Can God provide?
Yes.
I lack this. Can God provide? Absolutely. We can call upon him because he's the God that provides. God is not stingy. He is not Scrooge McDuck. God does not mind supplying and giving to us if we're willing to ask. God is the God who provides. Something else, as we call upon his name, is not only the Jehovah Jireh, but he's the Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that heals. I can ask upon God when I hurt.
Amen.
I can ask upon his healing. I can ask upon his grace to help me. The wonderful thing about God's grace is that God's grace doesn't erase pain, what helps me to not be stalled because of pain, to keep going forward. And I can depend upon him, and I can ask him in prayer and have confidence that he will hear me, because he's the God that provides. He's the God that heals. And then he's the Jehovah Shalom, which means the God of peace. You know, there's a lot of times we just need peace. And I could feel confident in asking God for his peace. Maybe it's a peace within. You know, there are some times that we have a storm, tumultuous storm going inside. Maybe it was something we did. Have you ever had a sleepless night where you couldn't sleep because you're so mad at yourself and you just want to beat yourself up all night long? You could have peace, and you could go to the God of peace and say, God, I need your peace upon me. Maybe you're fixing to face an unknown. By the way, isn't most battles an unknown? There's no guarantee who will win. As I'm going into battle, I'm fixing to face something, I can say, I need the God of peace. And I can ask for the God of peace, for that peace that passeth all understanding, because he is the God of peace. He's the Lord that provides. He's the Lord that heals. He's the Lord of peace. I can call upon his name in prayer and expect the victory. With that, there are some of the names of God that helps us to be able to stand firm. Remember, the idea is in battle. There is times of fear where we want to run away. In fact, fear not is one a phrase used in the Bible. There's almost one fear not for each day of the Bible. One of the great emphasis we place in the church is fear not. Do you know that you can trust in God's name? The Bible says in Psalm 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Because of God's name, we could trust in him to help us to stay firm and not retreat, not hide, not cower, not wilt away. We could trust in his names. No wonder David was able to stand before Goliath and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord thy God. Because I trust in who God's name is, I don't have to fear. I don't have to retreat. I could trust in who God is. Then we could use some of his names to win daily battles. We could use his names to win daily battles. One of God's names is the Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. The Lord is there. You know, what a great name of God, that God is always present. When fear overwhelms us and we feel alone, I could call upon the God who is there. God, you're here. And I could remind myself of that attribute, that if I know that God is standing right here with me, I could face anything. But when I feel alone, it is very easy to wilt and run away. How do I win daily battles? I remember that God is here with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Remember that song? It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. If I know that God is there, that God is with me, I can expect God to win the battles, because he can do it for me. Another name of God, which we'll talk about a little bit later in Isaiah, Jehovah Tiskanu, which means the Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. You know what that means? That means that because of God is, and everything he does is righteous, and his judgments is righteousness, that when we're fighting a battle, we're fighting from a place of victory, because God has already won the victory. I'm not fighting from a position of defeat to get victory. I'm fighting from a position where God has already won the victory. And I could stand firm and depend upon him, because he's already gotten the victory and I'm trusting in him. The Bible says that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Isn't that encouraging? I could trust in his name. And then there's the comforting one I just made reference to, the Jehovah Raah, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how many times has that psalm, Psalm 23, been a great comfort to people in their darkest hours? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That psalm is used at funerals to give people encouragement and calm, because we know that I have a great shepherd. And I could stand firm and I could have confidence that God's going to lead me the way I ought to go, because he's a great shepherd. He cares for me. What a great God that we have. With that, I want to show you one more thing. We talked about our warfare. We also talked about our weapon. But we also see our winning. Our winning. We can get the victories. Let me ask a question, just a thought question. When did the people sing this song? Was it after the battle? When the battle had already been won? They would sing this song before the battle. How do we get victory? By depending upon God before we enter into the battle. By trusting in God and depending on him before we face the enemy. You know how hard it is to avoid temptation when you're in the middle of temptation? We need to have that victory won before we go to the temptation. So it is easier to say no rather than be tempted and waffle and finally give in. We can trust in God. We must depend upon him before the victory. We must recognize before the battle we're not trusting in ourselves, but we're trusting in God and whom we trusted. Let's go through Psalm 20. I gave you some of the names of God. But throughout this psalm, we see the reflection of some of these things that I just told you. And see, as they sing this out loud, we could see that they're trusting in the characteristics and the attributes of who God is before the battle, with the anticipation that God is going to give them the victory. Notice with me verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now, we've already given several names of God where we have confidence that God will hear us, that God will depend upon us. They had every confidence that God was listening to their prayer, to the song of their heart. Lord, hear thee in the day of trouble. Notice the name of the Lord, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. The God of Jacob is another name specifically for Israel. It shows that there's a God that cares for you no matter who you are. His banner over me is love. This is a God who's going to fight for me and protect me because he cares for me. Why can I expect God to get the battle? Because he cares for me. Notice verse 2. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Well, we could see here the Lord of hosts. God has all of the equipment needed for me to get the victory. Says, Lord of hosts, the God of all the armies of heaven, send me help. You know, if I know backup's coming, that helps. I know someone's behind me. I know someone's going to support me, that God's given me all the tools needed so I can win the victory. He's going to send help. He's going to supply everything. I could trust in him. Verse 3, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. It's coming to the position and said, Lord, we've been trusting you. We've been depending upon you. We acknowledge who you are. This isn't just something I thought I would try and see if it worked. But I've already had a life of depending on you. And I'm asking that you help me to remember you've come through before and you're going to come through again. Verse 5, grant thee according to thine own heart, fulfill all thy own counsel. Here we see the idea of God Almighty, the God who doesn't need anything. He doesn't need wisdom. He doesn't need any counselors. God's able to guide us and direct us. He has all the supply. And he could grant us according to thine own heart, God being a sufficient God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have a great God. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. We know that Jehovah Nisi is that literal idea, the Lord is our banner, and his banner over me is love. That God has put his standard over me. He says, that's one of my people. That's one of my children. And I'm going to get him the victory. We can rejoice in thy salvation, the deliverance that God promised us. Because he loves me and he cares for me and he counts me as one of his own. Notice as it goes on, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. The idea, whenever you see God's right hand, it carries the idea of the power that he uses. That he opened up the Red Seas with his powerful hand. That all throughout the Bible, it uses this picture of God's hand as a picture of victory, of strength, of power, of might. My God is a strong God. He's not a weak God. He has all power. He has all strength. I could trust in him to win this battle on my behalf. Verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're putting our dependence specifically and on purpose on a God who loves us and a God who cares for us. Verse 8, they are brought down low and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. He's given us the victory. Why, God has defeated the enemies. I can trust in the God, the Lord of hosts, the one who's already won the battle. I'm fighting from a place of victory, not the place of defeat. He's already won the victory, and I can trust in him. Verse number 9. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. Remember, David is writing this, and often then they sing this, he was already king. They're not saying King David, King Jesus. We're going to the king, the one who's leading us, the Lord of hosts. I could trust in him. And with this, we could see the power of all God's names as we learn about him. Remember, the names of God is not some magic word that we use. The names of God explain to us God's characteristics and God's attributes. But as we learn about who God is, we could trust those attributes. We could trust his characteristics. We could trust in the God that those attributes are attributed to. And we could trust in his various names as they reveal to us who God is. Remember that when we call upon these names of God, they're not there to impress God. They're there to remind us of who God is. So we could depend upon him for victory. You understand, the life that God wants you to live is a victorious Christian life. And yet, so many times we live from defeat to defeat to defeat, when the type of life we should be living is from victory to victory to victory. Because God has already got the victory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He is the overcoming God. He is the God we could trust in. And as we learn to depend upon God for every battle, we're also going to be able to see victory after victory after victory after victory. Why is it that we see so many defeats in our life? Because we're trusting in ourselves more than God. When we get that switched around, that we're not trusting in chariots, we're not trusting in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We will remember. That's the word I want you to see there. It says we will remember. That carries the idea that God has already revealed and told us all this stuff. We have to remember. Have you ever had that excuse? I forgot to trust God. I forgot to pray. The Bible says here is an action verb, remember. Remember that we're supposed to trust in God. As Christians, you're taught over and over, trust and put God, depend on God, believe in him, trust in him, trust in him. It's not the learning that you have. It's as we're getting into the battle to remember, to trust in him, to remember to depend upon him, to remember the name of the Lord our God. If we grabbed a hold of this, every single one of us at the sound of my voice would start living from victory to victory to victory. Are you tired of living in defeat? Are you tired of the world, the devil, and the flesh always winning? Remember, you cannot fight any of those on your own. You are not strong enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not great enough. You're not intelligent enough. You're not charismatic enough. None of us can fight those enemies on our own. It's a spiritual battle, and it must be won with a spiritual force. God has to win the victory. So we have to put our dependence from us to the God who can win all these victories. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. What do you do with this? Well, listen, what type of life have you had this week? Has it been a victorious life? Or are you living from defeat to defeat to defeat? Are you at the place where you say, I just don't know how. I'm tired of living this life. I'm tired of being beat up all the time. I'm tired of failing time and time again. The answer is very clear. Remember the name of the Lord our God. The God who before you face the battle, you want to depend upon. You want to go to him. You want to go to him often. You want to go to him early. You want to go to him every need. It's not me. I can't win this myself. It has to be you. When you grasp this and you apply this, you will find your life transformed and revolutionized. And you will be someone living a victorious Christian life, meaning you are living from victory, victory, victory. Do you crave that life? Does your heart yearn for that life? You could have it, not by a magic word, not by some hocus pocus, but by putting your dependence upon God. And his names allow us to do that. Let's go to him and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we enter this invitation time, this is the battleground. All this was preparation. Now there's a spiritual battle going on. Without a doubt, someone's flesh is rebelling. Someone's flesh is saying, I don't need this. I've got things handled. This is nice. But you're already getting ready to set this aside. And all you're doing is setting yourself up for more defeat. This is a message that requires you to do something active about it, to set something in order so you can remember the name of the Lord your God before the battle hits. That means you may need to set up some habits. You may need to set up some reminders. You may have to do some things different so you can purposely go to the Lord in prayer and put your dependence upon him before the battle hits. In the middle of the battle, it's almost too late. After the battle, it is certainly way too late. This is the time to do it before and to set things up before the battle so you can live in victory, not because of your ability, not because of your ingenuity, not because of who you are, but whom we trust. Lord, help people with victories even now. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.